the TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink.
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Okay, we're into hour number three of Locked and Loaded today, Tuesday, the 4th of October. Had quite a good show today, I do believe. We've had Darren on, we've had Ian Davis on, and later on this hour, I'm going to be joined by Johnny from Mexico for the first time. He's going to be talking about some of the work that he's involved with and some of the endeavors that he's involved with in the media field. So that's all still to come. Just looking at what's making the headlines today, Bill Gates has come out and made a statement to say that preventing people from eating meat is, I quote, too difficult, unquote. So he thinks there's a problem with stopping people from eating meat. Why does Bill Gates care whether or not I eat meat or not, really? Why doesn't he just piss off and stay where he is and mind his own business and stop interfering in everybody's lives? We talked about him earlier on with his obsession with mosquitoes, with disease-bearing vectors, with malaria eradication, unleashing swarms of mosquitoes on poor students at a TED Talk back in 2009. And on it goes. Now he's telling us that preventing people from eating meat is too difficult. Okay then, move on to something else, Bill. Stop harassing us. If I want a steak, I'm going to damn well have one. There are talks, apparently, of genetically modified, procedure that can be done now to make people allergic to meat. So even if you want it, even if you want the steak, when you eat it, you'll be like, ugh, you'll want to vomit the thing back up again. It's like people that bite their fingernails. There's this stuff you can put on the bottom of your fingernails that tastes horrific, and when you go to bite those suckers down, you feel like you want to puke. Well, maybe that's what Gates will move on to next. Kanye West and Candace Owens spark a backlash after wearing White Lives Matter sweatshirts. Love him or hate him, Kanye's good for a bit of controversy, and now Candace is joining in too with White Lives Matter sweatshirts. If a white person was to wear them, oh, they'll be stoned in the street. But a black person wearing them, well, that's something altogether. And you know me, I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I'm not a racist, a transphobe, a homophobe, or whatever. But I think it's interesting some of the trolling that's going on at the minute. Or maybe it's not trolling. Maybe it's deadly serious. Maybe they're trying to highlight a point here that maybe the white people are not the most privileged, looked after, socially developed class on the face of the planet. After all, we have our struggles, we have our problems like everybody else. So Kanye and Candace, backlash is sparked. FDA is preparing to publish a study on four potential adverse events following Pfizer vaccination. I'm very surprised by that headline on the Epoch Times. Actually, let me just say that only four adverse events are being discussed. The last time I saw the Pfizer data dump, there was around about 10,000 potential adverse reactions that were listed. And they were printed so small on the piece of paper, you would need a magnifying glass to see them. So fair play for picking out four. I wonder what those four adverse reactions that the FDA will publish the information on will be. I'm wondering, have they anything to do with their hearts? Have they anything to do with their immune systems? Have they anything to do with the so-called sudden adult death syndrome? I'm sure time will tell. Other news, a major scientific publisher retracts more than 500 papers. 500 papers. You would have thought they would have been vetted before they were published. You would have thought they were peer-reviewed before they were published, rather than just firing them straight to press. And this is from a scientific publisher. So 500 papers have been retracted. I wonder why. That would be an interesting story in and of itself. In New York, immigrant tent city has been moved to a place called Randall's Island. So people are piling into New York. They're living in tents. Obviously, that's not good for tourism. It's not good for business if you're navigating your way through a tent city in Times Square somewhere. So they're being shipped off to Randall's Island, a little bit like when they arrive in Florida and they were shipped up to Martha's Vineyard. and the people were in a lather. And then they were put on a bus within 24 hours, accompanied by the National Guard, and ferried off somewhere else while the residents clapped and shouted and jumped for joy. I'm sorry, but to be honest with you, these people that are coming into the country illegally, they're just being used as pawns and they're being dehumanized. They're literally being ferried around and shoved from pillar to post. And not only should they not be in the country in the first place, but they're being dehumanized even further when they're arriving here. It's sick and it's disgusting, but hey, that's what we expect from our political class right now. Lastly, US Postal Service workers have been arrested over a $1.3 million credit card fraud and theft scheme. Things are tight out there at the minute. People may be tempted to turn to crime. You know, I'm not advocating that anybody does that, but think long and hard about it. Prison's not a nice place to be. You know, contrary to what some people say, it's a cushy place and it's a place where you can go and chill out and get an education. I've been in a few prisons, not as an inmate, but as a visitor. Some really nasty ones in the UK and some very, very nasty ones in Africa. And trust me, prison's not somewhere you want to end up. So think twice before you commit fraud or dip your hand in the till or do a little bit of savvy shoplifting potentially this year. And I know it can be tempting if you're broke, but think twice, because if you're caught, that's it. It's game over. So those are some of the things that have caught my eye. Just to make you aware that TNT Radio, we have an events calendar. We have a What's On calendar. So irrespective of whether you're looking to promote an event wherever you are, or you're maybe in an area and you're wondering, is there anything happening near me that I can connect to? The answer is yes, potentially. Check out our website, tntradio.live, and either connect with people that are advertising their events and rallies there, or if you're thinking of organizing one, you advertise it there and other people can connect with you. It's all about bringing people together. It's all about showing the love here on TNT Radio.
Stream us wherever you are.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Nuclear. A lot of talk about nuclear happening at the minute. Nuclear weapons convoy spotted in central Russia sparks a fear that Putin could be preparing to test and send a signal to the West while Kim Jong-un blasts a ballistic missile over Japan. These things are all happening within the space of the last 24 hours, and yet more on top of that. Again, I'm very happy to be joined by Darren, our news producer here. We're gonna break into this for about the next 8 minutes. Darren, what's going on with Kim Jong-un? What's going on with this nuclear escalation? What do you make of this?
So this is a continuation of the Western corporate media pushing the Russian nuclear threat. Apparently, a convoy has been spotted in Russia that belongs to the 12th main directorate of the Russian MOD, and which is responsible for nuclear armament and nuclear armament transportation. And this comes along from the warning or the suggestion by Ramzan Kadyrov of the Chechen Republic. He's the Muslim leader of the Chechen Republic, who called for the use of low-yield nuclear weapons in light of the small city in Ukraine, Lyman, which was recently captured by the Ukrainian military. And so the RT and Russia has put out quite a clear statement on their nuclear policy. So this is from RT. This is a spokesman who was responding to the weekend call from the head of Chechnya to use low-yield nuclear weapons. And the statement reads, "Emotions should play no role when discussing the use of nuclear weapons." This is from Dmitry Peskov. He said, adding that Moscow has a clear policy in this regard. He said that, speaking to reporters on Monday, Peskov said that governors and heads of regions in Russia, such as Ramzan Kadyrov, have the right to express their personal opinion and to give assessments on issues. This includes Kadyrov, who Peskov had said had contributed a lot to Russia's military campaign in Ukraine, which actually, if I just stop there, provides a sort of conflict in what I'm saying, because he is a Muslim and they have employed what we might consider extremist Islamic terrorists in Ukraine and as part of the Russian combat force. So, you know, there's something there that I can't ever really agree with. Carrying on, Peskov, that, however, does not mean officials can give free rein to their emotions, even in difficult times. Asked if Kadyrov's remarks would be considered an inappropriate display of emotion, the Kremlin spokesman said that in Russia, the use of nuclear weapons is based on what is laid down in the respective nuclear doctrine. Mm-hmm. Their nuclear doctrine states, which was published in 2020, states Moscow reserves the right to use atomic weapons only if such arms or other weapons of mass destruction are being targeted at Mother Russia, at the country. Yeah. Or, and this is where it gets a little bit ambiguous, or it is being faced with an existential threat from conventional arms. So this is an ongoing story. We've heard it for most of the year from Western corporate media that Russians are, you know, this is going to use weapons of mass destruction in Ukraine. They may attack other countries. There's been talk of the Poseidon tsunami weapon that was published yesterday, where Russia, the claims are that Russian, and Russia have claimed as well, they've created their own propaganda video, Russia, where they say that this 100 megaton torpedo drone would be able to create an irradiated tsunami that could swamp coastlines. And it was directed, this video, at the UK. So there is this propaganda war. However, that statement from Russia is quite clear that they have no intention of using nuclear weapons unless there's an existential threat to their country. So, I don't know, what do you think about that? I'm quite concerned about false flags myself. And that the Western media are trying to lay the groundwork for a Syria-type event where a banned weapon might be used. In Syria, it was chlorine, but you know, this could be a small low-yield nuclear weapon that might not have contained the radioactive yield of other weapons or chemical or biological attacks. So your opinion.
It's interesting what you were bringing up there, because number one, you said they have like a nuclear doctrine. Okay, number one, they said we have a nuclear doctrine, and doctrine is something that's usually associated with a religious belief or, you know, a way of operation. So they have their own doctrine in and around what to do in the event of a hostile event, what to do in the event of this. You know, in a way, they're making this a very binary thing, because it's not a binary thing. Obviously, there's a lot of implications, ramifications if things do go down this route. But much like us, we have said, you and I have said, or people that are listening have said, and said, okay, if the lights go off this winter, we have candles, we have a generator, we have some diesel, we have some canned food. This is what we will do in this scenario. If the power goes off, this is what we will do in this scenario. So Russia, obviously, for a very long time, and America and everywhere else, they have their own set of guidelines. So it's like, okay, has this happened? Yes, go to point B. Has this happened? Yes, go to point C. And that could end up in the use of a tactical nuclear strike to defend them, or as a retaliation for something that's been done on them. So it sounds quite, the way you read it out there, and it wasn't your delivery, but just the wording of that statement, it's very cold and very defined. It's like, if this happens, this is going to happen. Is that right or wrong? It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. This is our nuclear doctrine, and we will not deviate from our nuclear doctrine. So it's hard to say, Darren. I really don't think that things will escalate to the nth point whereby there's a nuclear war. Some people think there's no such thing as nuclear weapons. Listen, whether they're nuclear or not, they have weapons that are capable of causing humongous amounts of damage, okay? And if they are employed by both sides in a tit-for-tat exchange, nobody wins in all of this. I don't think it'll go that hot. But I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't rule out a small nuclear detonation causing a massive loss of life, or an undersea explosion causing an irradiated tsunami to swamp places. to escalate things to justify more things coming into place. A la 9/11, they needed a massive terror attack to justify the war on terror, to justify going into the Middle East, to justify going into all these countries. And by gum, it worked a treat. Mm-hmm. So extrapolate that up several notches and think about it on a global scale, my friend. I would not be at all surprised to see that coming to pass. So something to keep an eye on, something to keep an eye on just as we wrap that up. Nuclear, will they go nuclear? Will they not? This nuclear thing with China or with North Korea and Japan is something else that's developing as we speak. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep an eye on that one too. So thank you for shedding a light on that, my friend. And all being well, we'll get talking again tomorrow. That's Darren from TNT Radio. I'm Rick Munn, and we'll be back after these short ads with some more of the same. Don't go away, Locked and Loaded.
You should hear what Jesse Zerowell is talking about.
In addition to calling up 300,000 reservists, which does not include conscripts or university students, Putin has made some what could be described as inflammatory statements, if I can use that cliche, regarding the possible use of nuclear weapons.
In Russian language media, I mean, especially among hardliners, like people who really support the special operation, they're saying this is really, really bad because, first of all, territorial gains aside, what basically has happened is that Russia took control of territory, and then those Ukrainians who wanted to cooperate with Russia and consider themselves Russian, if the idea here was that Russia was going to go into Ukraine to protect ethnic Russians, to guarantee that, you know, Ukrainians can speak Russian and live in harmony and peace with Russia, the problem is that all these territories that Russia goes into, they're not guaranteeing that they're staying, you know? And sometimes, in some cases, they say like, oh yeah, we're here forever. And then, you know, a month later, they leave. How can you do this? It's so self-defeating, and it makes cooperation or welcoming the Russian military as liberators impossible. It's like a death sentence.
Jesse Zerowell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
We need a recalibration of government. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, I'm very, very happy to be joined by some new blood here on Locked and Loaded on TNT Radio, this young gentleman. And he is a young gentleman. From my experience of him so far, his name is Johnny, H-O-D-L. I believe that stands for Hold On For Dear Life. I could be incorrect about that. As per now, that's what he's going by, because he has a podcast called Staying Free Pod, at Staying Free Pod on Twitter. And also he posts under the name of at Johnny, J-O-N-N-Y, H-O-D-L. He's a vegan. He's a libertarian. He's a freedom maximalist. And I was very fortunate to spend some time on air with him on his podcast about a month ago. We had a long chat about some off-topic stuff that we don't normally cover in depth here on the radio. And I thought it would be great to get him on the show here today for a chat. And I understand he's got up early in the morning. He's joining me from sunny Mexico. Johnny, how are you, my friend? Are you well? Are you locked? And more importantly, are you loaded?
I am, Rick. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate you bringing me on the show. And yeah, obviously, we had a great conversation on my podcast, so it's nice to be coming on yours as well. It's very early here in Mexico. It's still dark outside. It's only just past 6 a.m. But yeah, looking forward to getting into some topics with you.
Yeah, that's good. And I appreciate it. I don't take it for granted when people take a time out of their day to come on the show. That's a big thing. But when it's 2 a.m. in the morning, maybe sometimes it's 6 a.m. in the morning, it's that little bit extra. They go that little bit further. The call of duty is that little bit harder. So I do appreciate you getting up bright and early. And, well, this could be the best start of the day you could ever have, or it could be the worst, Johnny. Time will tell, my friend. You're an Englishman. You're in Mexico. What landed you there? Why Mexico? What made you flit? If you can tell me that, or if it's not too personal a question.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, you know, as is the case for a lot of people who are out here in Mexico, in particular, most of the people who are out here that I've met who have come here off the back of lockdowns and things, normally they tend to be Canadian. There's quite a lot of Canadians here, obviously, because it's a bit closer. But for me, it was a very similar reason. We'd been off the back of several, kind of a series of lockdowns in the UK. It's all a bit of a blur now because there was just so many happening. But I think that the last one, it was in the winter of 2020, I think, going into 2021. And then it got to around about May and we were still in some form of lockdown. It wasn't complete, but it was still, you know, you can't have more than six people in a pub and this kind of thing. And they'd started talking about travel restrictions. And I was very concerned that those travel restrictions were basically going to ban people who were unvaccinated completely from travel altogether. So I started to decide, okay, like, I don't think that I want to stay around here and see what these restrictions are going to be. Mm-hmm. I wasn't intending to stay in the UK long-term anyway. I've always traveled quite a lot. So I was always going to leave at some point. And I thought, okay, well, if they're going to bring in some travel restrictions, this sounds like my time to fly. So at that point, I decided to get out of the country. And obviously I was looking at the map and saying, okay, well, where in the world is actually free? And Mexico had done really well during the whole coronavirus debacle. You know, they had, I think they might have tried lockdowns very, very briefly for, you know, maybe a week and then realized it was completely unworkable here. You didn't need a test to enter. You didn't need a vaccine to enter. So I decided that Mexico was the place for me. So I came out to Mexico and then that was really it. You know, I've been back to the UK since, but otherwise I've kind of really made a life for myself out here and yeah, no plans to move anywhere else.
Yeah, it sounds like a great place. You know, with a mutual friend in Richard Nichols, an ex-Brit who's now, he's been out there for about 15 odd years. And I was chatting with him a few weeks ago and he said he had to go back to London and take care of some business back home again. But he said, I only plan on staying there for maybe 2 to 3 days. Then I want to get back over to Mexico. And one of our presenters, Hrvoje Morić, he's a Croatian, but he's living in Mexico as well. Am I right in saying there seems to be as many people as are, you know, flitting across the border into California or into Texas or wherever they're jumping the border from Mexico in, there's as many people actually coming from North America down south, crossing over into Mexico, because it's preferable to live in Mexico than, for example, in California under the governorship of somebody like Gavin Newsom. The same kind of principle as you were operating on. I don't want to be locked down. I don't want to live under these conditions. You're actually finding people crossing the border in the opposite direction, coming down into your part of the world now into Mexico. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, there's actually a remarkable number of people who are coming down here. I mean, a lot of the expat communities, places where I've been, I mean, I'm in Puerto Vallarta on the West Coast, and certainly here, the expat communities who are here, I would say they're at least half, if not more, Canadian, and a lot of them have left for reasons of, you know, obviously Justin Trudeau and all the kind of diktats that are being brought in Canada and the direction that society is going over there. So yeah, there's a huge amount of Canadians. I think that there really is a big combination of factors that are bringing people here. You know, one is obviously people trying to escape tyranny in their countries. And the other is that a lot of people, through everything that happened with COVID, they've now gone fully remote. So it's become a lot easier for people to cross borders and go and live elsewhere, which I think is a huge plus and something we've really got on our side in everything that's going on. Because actually this kind of creates a vote with your feet or vote with your wallet effect, where people are able to, obviously for now at least, people are able to move countries and go and seek out freedom in different places. So yeah, you've definitely got a big effect of people moving from these areas. And you know, Mexico's been a big winner in that. If you look at the Mexican economy and how it's performed versus most other economies over the past 2 years, it's done really well. The Mexican peso at the moment, I think, is one of the only currencies which is actually holding against the dollar. So, you know, I think that just goes to show that there is a thirst for freedom. And if you have kind of sound policies of, you know, I think that freedom actually tends to be good for the economy, right? So like, that's, I think, what we're seeing. And you know, you've obviously got the combined factor then as well of the kind of brain drain effect from some of these other countries. You know, I really worry for a place like Canada, where people can hop on a flight, doesn't take very long, doesn't cost very much to go to Mexico. A lot of very smart people with, you know, sometimes a lot of money going to places like Mexico to escape what's going on.
Yeah, we're going to take a really quick news break, about 30 seconds. When we come back from that, I just want to expand on this a little bit more, because as much as there's a lot of people piling into Mexico at the minute, I would say the vast majority of them have to at least demonstrate that they're going to be economically viable, unlike most of the borders that are being breached at the minute. So, for example, if there's a deluge of people going from Mexico to America, they're usually going there to, you know, illegally, and they don't have a lot to bring with them, whereas there's people coming into Mexico, they're being quite tight on who gets in. They're welcoming people in, but they have to be at least, come on, you've got to show you've got something to give us. We'll give you a 3-month visa, 6-month visa, and maybe extend it past that. Let's look at the politics behind that, which I think is serving Mexico well, as evidenced by the fact that the peso is doing well and holding its own against the dollar right now. So we'll be right back after this short ad. News break here, sorry, on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
Darren Metzer here with your TNT headlines. A U.S. Navy whistleblower has alleged thousands of crew members on board a U.S. aircraft carrier were led to drink water laced with jet fuel after the ship's commanding officer lied to them about the severity of a fuel leak. Kim Kardashian's been fined $1.2 million for failing to disclose to her fans that she had been paid $250,000 to promote a cryptocurrency token on Instagram. And Britain's energy regulators warned the UK is on the brink of a gas supply emergency.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, Johnny, this business of moving, obviously, change is something that a lot of people don't like, and a lot of people stay where they are because they don't like the concept of up sticks and leaving and going somewhere else. And I suppose I'm asking you this, there's a lot of people out there I think would certainly be contemplating it now, especially if they don't have any ties with, you know, mortgages or extended families in the UK, for example. It's maybe not just as easy to up sticks and leave and move to another country, but there's got to be a lot of, how would you say, people that can move around freely, that certainly should be considering a move to another place if it's going to improve their quality of life at the minute. And the Mexican government, and this is just from speaking with Richard Nichols, he said that, you know, you have to demonstrate that when you come into the country that you're going to contribute something to the country. They'll give you a short-term visa, maybe a longer-term visa, then you can apply for Mexican citizenship. Is this quality control on their borders part of the reason why it's such an attractive place to be, rather than it's just something everybody piles into no matter what to simply seek a better standard of living?
Yes, I think it is. You know, Mexico does have quite a logical kind of immigration policy when it comes to people coming in. You know, Mexico actually, the way that it normally works and the way that things are generally set up here is a lot of people retire to Mexico. So people are essentially using things like their pension. And what they do is they show that, you know, my pension is paying out a certain amount of money. Can I live here? Now, you can actually use kind of those same mechanisms for remote workers. So technically you are, you know, operating under those same ways that kind of pensioners and things would move to the country. But as long as you can prove that you have an income, even if that's, for instance, working remotely and your money is earned abroad, it all comes under the same kind of umbrella. So it is possible for things like remote workers, you know, people who like during this time, don't need to be in an office, and their money is all earned abroad. Mexico is kind of very relaxed about that. So it's not that hard to get your residency, and they normally do it in phases as well. So for instance, you'll get your temporary residency, then you'll get a permanent residency, and then you can kind of, I think your permanent residency actually, it's temporary then, which is 1 year, then it's temporary for 4 years. And then I think you get permanent after that. So it happens in phases. And obviously during that time, you know, they ensure that you don't commit any crimes and things like that as well. So it's kind of staggered, the process. But really, as far as they're concerned, if you're earning money abroad and you're a law abiding citizen, then Mexico is generally treats you pretty well as a foreigner here.
You know what, to me, I mean, like, I have absolutely no problem with immigration. I've said this many times. My next door neighbors are from Swaziland. They've been beside me now for 12 years, approximately. They have a lovely family. They work, they contribute. They're gathering things up. They send it back home. They help their family. They benefit other people from the fact that they're here. Okay. There's other people in my street, the same thing. A couple of doctors down the street from South Africa. They've brought the family over as well. I have no problem with people coming into the country, as long as at least, and I'm not being hard when I say this. I know there are some people who are genuinely fleeing death and persecution, in which case, if we can facilitate them, we should. But there's a lot of opportunists out there and a lot of economic migrants who are simply looking for the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And in somewhere like Mexico, I like the policy in that, okay, demonstrate to me that you can at least support yourself. Demonstrate to me that you're a law-abiding citizen. Show me that you have not perpetrated crimes in your country of origin. That is in polar opposite contrast to the United Kingdom, for example, or Ireland, where people are flooding into Dublin or flooding into Dover from across the channel, facilitated by the RNLA, facilitated by the Royal Navy. The French are sending them over, and they're just simply being bussed away into hotels. Very little security checking being done. In the case of Ireland, no visa, no vetting being done whatsoever. We were told it's a humanitarian issue, and that overrides even national security issues. So that's in, I would say, direct contrast to the policy where you are. And it sounds like it's kind of working out where you are, but it sure as hell isn't working out over here. So maybe we should be taking note from the Mexican government when it comes to this business. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that would be, you know, that would be a really good thing. I think that really, that difference is really highlighted, you know, for me since I've come here. It's just that even just little things like, you know, when I've come to Mexico, I can't use any of the public services, even as a temporary resident. I can't, you know, go and use the hospitals and things like that. Obviously, you could make an argument, while I'm using the roads, I still have access to law enforcement and things like that. But, you know, the really big kind of expenses that you'd normally expect to have with Social Security and stuff, you know, we're talking about things that I don't really have access to, right? So I think that what Mexico has done, and what I think smart countries will ultimately do, because I think that there is a bit of a geopolitical game that will be played out over the next few years, because, you know, for now, we still live under some version of capitalism, right? So some countries which actually recognize that are going to do quite well. Obviously, they're trying to derail that. But for now, we live under capitalism, and that kind of leads to these sound economic policies, at least for some countries. And I think normally it's the smaller countries, or certainly the kind of more third world, quote unquote, countries that are doing it. But, you know, they've seen an opportunity here to say, you know, we can benefit our economy by bringing in people who have money, who, you know, either earn their money abroad or who already have investments and savings. We can bring people into the country. You know, they're not going to kind of just milk the system, and we can do well off it. And I think that's ultimately how, you know, immigration should work. And that's ultimately how countries should be looking at these things.
You know, it's nice to hear you talking like this, because immigration's a hot topic. Some people can get very heated about it. Some people can start paying a race card, saying, oh, you're against it because you're racist. It's not the case at all. To me, and again, just from what you've said, the Mexican government have a policy that people can come into the country, but they're not going to overstep people that are residents there, for example, with access to healthcare, and they have to show that they're going to be in some way financially viable to take up place of residence. residents in Mexico. And I don't understand why that's such a big deal, that it can't be applied to other places like Ireland or like Germany or France or England or wherever it happens to be, unless, of course, there was more to it than met the eye. And actually, you could say that the government were potentially trying to destabilize the countries in which they ran rather than make them more solidified and more economically viable. So I appreciate your insights in that. I hadn't planned on talking to you about that, but I think it's important because it's something that's cropping up more and more, and you're giving a perspective from a place as an immigrant or migrant from the UK to Mexico saying, well, actually, this is how it's run here, and it seems to be working well. Richard Nichols would say the same. Hervoy Morich would say the same. I haven't heard any bad reports yet about the Mexican policy when it comes to letting people cross the borders. Talking about yourself, okay, TNT Radio, we've been going now for around about 9 months since January of this year. You are involved in podcasting, independent media yourself. Tell us a little bit about how you veered into that territory. Is it your background? Did you just decide to do it at some point? How has it been developing for you? What are your plans for that going forward? Because I think this is the way forward when it comes to news dissemination and discussion. It has to be done on an independent platform now.
So initially, I didn't plan to start a podcast until literally about 2 weeks maybe before I recorded my first episode, which was in December of 2021, last year. But yeah, I guess what I saw happening was, you know, after everything that happened in March of 2020, I realized that there was a lot of different voices that were kind of emerging, particularly on Twitter, where it was happening, you know, and you were certainly part of that as well, Rick, where people started to, people were looking for truth and they couldn't find it in the traditional institutions. So they were finding, you know, a whole host of people. And I kind of realized that the conversation was going in this direction. And I started gaining quite a big following on Twitter. Just putting out my observations out there. And I was generally talking about, you know, things that were going on regarding COVID, but also talking a bit about Bitcoin as well. Mm-hmm. And I had some people who were kind of sending me messages and saying, hey, you know, can you help me out? I'm interested in Bitcoin, don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start, a kind of Telegram group, just giving my kind of introduction to people about Bitcoin, about how to buy it, and a little bit about, you know, the whole economics around it. And that was growing. And then someone suggested that I maybe turn this into a podcast. So initially it was going to be around that topic, but I actually thought that it was deserving, this community was deserving of a podcast that wasn't just about one area like that, but actually was just talking to a lot of these people who had gained traction in the community and whose voices had become, you know, trusted. You know, especially as the traditional voices that you would expect to trust, like the news and things like that, was just not being trusted at all. So I realized that there was a kind of an opportunity there to host some interesting discussions and have them kind of, you know, along various lines as well. You know, I didn't just want to stick to one thing. I just wanted people to be able to express themselves from this kind of freedom community that had sprung up, but to be able to express themselves in more than, you know, whatever it is, 280 characters on Twitter. And actually have longer form conversations. And I thought that people would want to tune into that, get to know people on a more kind of personal level. So yeah, that was where it originally started. And then obviously it's kind of just grown it from there. I release an episode about every 2 weeks with a different person. Obviously you were a recent guest on that, Rick, which I appreciate you coming on. And on that one, obviously we talked about, you know, things to do with Christianity and religion and revelation. But you know, normally I'm talking about things like self-sovereignty and how to kind of protect individual freedom in the face of this kind of government overreach, which I expect to, you know, which is already really bad, and I expect to get a lot worse in the coming kind of months and years.
Brilliant. Well, you know, it's interesting that sprang up for you around about December of last year, which is in and around the time that we were launching the station here too. So we're both, I think, of the same age in terms of our output in TNT Radio and the Staying Free podcast as well, which, by the way, it's on all the major streaming platforms. It's on Apple Music, it's on Spotify, on Odyssey, Rumble, BitChute. And just in case I forget, actually, you can connect via the best best place to go is actually Johnny's Twitter page, which is at JONNYHODL, and also at Staying Free Pod. And I believe there's a little link tree on there that you can click on it if you're using social media, that will bring up links through to your Spotify page and your other links where people can actually listen to your output. So I'm just dropping that in now in case I forget to do it at the end of the show, because I'm bad like that. We've got to take another break. I think we'll do it now, so as we get a good run up to the end of the hour. So you're listening to Johnny, and I'm Rick. This is TNT Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these short ads. Hope you enjoy.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
I think it only appropriate to take a day off politics to wish Floridians, who are facing the onslaught of Hurricane Ian, all the best. I have friends in both Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte, where the eye made landfall. They took a punch to the face, but they're still standing strong. And so will the rest of Florida. But you know who's not taking a day off politics? That's right, Democrat politicians, who are using Ian, which, by the way, since it's the first major storm of the season and it's late September, means that we've had an incredibly mild hurricane season. Now, they're using this storm as proof that we need to pass their climate change legislation so that storms like this can never happen again. What hubris. And if their Inflation Reduction Act couldn't even begin to address inflation, what kind of moron would think that their climate change legislation could begin to control the weather? It's not about climate change. It's a power grab, and we need to call them out on it every single time they say it. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Chris Domine is a husband, father, an athlete, even an Ironman. But 10 years ago, Chris's kidneys were failing.
The doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant, you are going to die.
Chris received a second chance, made possible by an organ donor.
Your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
We have every right to believe Ukraine funds are being money laundered, unless proven otherwise. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I don't know about you, Johnny, but I find doing this, well, it can be stressful, all right? Doing what you're doing, organizing stuff and editing and all that, it can be a little bit taxing on the mind. However, I do feel that when it's done and dusted, you've done an episode, you've had a show, you've had a conversation with someone like me, I'm coming up the end of a 3-hour session today. When I started today, I didn't want to do it. I felt a little bit flat. I couldn't see it far enough. But when I connected with the studio, I saw Luke, the first guest came on, we got to talking, we had things in common. Do you find on a personal level, it's almost like a therapeutic for you to do what you're doing, set aside revealing the truth, giving people encouragement strategies on a personal level? Do you find it's beneficial for you as a podcaster just simply to do what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like when I first started doing it, I just realized that there's so many really, really interesting and smart people in this community. And some of them, you know, it's not necessarily correlated to how many followers someone's got. You know, obviously that is, you know, one metric to go by, but sometimes you talk to people and they've not got much of a following, but they have a huge amount of insight and they're just very, very intelligent people. So it's great having those conversations. And, you know, as well, I think that we know that history is written by the victors, right? And we don't know how this is all going to end. And I kind of feel like I have, I guess, an itch that I want to scratch, which is that I want to make sure that during this period, I'm documenting the world as I see it and having conversations that reflect the truth as I see it in the world, because we don't know how this is going to be written in 5 or 10 years' time, this whole period that we're going through. So I think that right now, that's why it's that. For me, I think this is a golden age of alternative media that we're going through right now, because all of the mainstream channels are not prepared to give you the truth. And so it's on us really to actually document this period that we're going through. So I didn't necessarily kind of think about it at the like in those terms at the time when I was starting the podcast, but certainly now I definitely get a huge amount of fulfillment, as you say, from, you know, every episode that I record. I really feel like, you know, there's something done on a personal level, but also I hope that, you know, this is, I'm able to look back on these as well, or that other people are able to look back and say, okay, you know, was he right? Was he wrong? What, you know, and even if I'm wrong on some things, at least I'm trying to add to the conversation and, you know, try to reveal truth in some small way.
Yeah. You know, it's, I'm hearing you there, and especially in reference to the smaller people, let's just call them the smaller people. There's any amount of people out there with a large amount of reach, and they can access high profile media types or people that are, you know, of high reputation. And that's great. They have their message to get out there too. But for me, what I'm enjoying most personally about this myself is I like to talk to everyday people that are simply getting by and encouraging other people to get by and sharing their experiences that could help other people to get through something. Okay. So you may not be able to identify with a corporate news broadcaster or a world-class doctor or physician, but you might be able to associate with somebody that's just said, you know what, I feel like moving away, setting up a new life, beginning a little project, watching it grow, bringing people together, sharing tips on investments and strategies and coping strategies. I'm finding that I'm getting a lot out of that, connecting with people that I would never otherwise have met, dare I say, without all the shenanigans that's been going on in the last 2 years. So without, I would say, you know, if this never happened 2 to 3 years ago, would you be where you are today? Would you have done your podcast? Would there be a TNT radio? I would probably still be working for a government or a bank somewhere along the way. So I suppose what I'm trying to say is, despite this black cloud, there has been silver linings. And that seems to be the feedback I am getting talking to people like yourself is, you know what, I've tried to make the best of it. You know, it's not ideal what's going on in the world. In fact, it's horrible and I wish it wasn't happening. However, rather than just sitting and being a victim of it, you've taken a step, maybe a leap of faith, or maybe just taking a big risk or a big gamble, moving away somewhere, jacking in your job, starting a new project, moving out of your comfort zone. And I suppose for anyone listening, you know, and I don't say this in any way in a disparaging way, I said about myself, there's nothing special about us. We've all got the same amount of time in the day. We've all got the same bodies and the same faculties. If you've got something in your mind you want to do, just start doing it. You don't have to be a pro. You don't have to be an expert. You don't even have to know what you're doing. Just start doing it. And I think as time goes by, it will develop potentially into something that you can do on a regular basis and get a lot out of. Is that a jumping out and taking the first step is key, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, just finding that thing that you can actually do to add, finding your unique way of kind of expressing what you want to express, you know, obviously for yourself and for me, that's kind of been through doing podcasts, yeah, and radio and that kind of thing, having conversations. You know, for other people, it might be, you know, doing artwork and things like that. I don't, mm-hmm, know if you've seen like Adam Brimson, he's doing like really great mm-hmm pieces of art on, and he's putting them up on Twitter and kind of documenting things artistically. Mm-hmm. There's various ways that you can do it. But, you know, as you say, I think that during this time, like with everything that's kind of going on at the moment, you can either really, you know, you can kind of do one of three things. One is like to bury your head in the sand and pretend nothing's going on. The other is to kind of surrender to it all and just say, okay, well, I'm just going to accept that there's nothing I can do and just go along with it. And, you know, that the battle is already lost. You know, the kind of Peter Hitchens approach. And then there's this kind of third way, I think, which is to actually recognize that, you know, things are bad. Recognize that, you know, tyranny is kind of at our doorstep, and to actually try to evolve through it and say, you know, how can I evolve as an individual through this? You know, how can I grow? How can I kind of achieve something in my own life? And I think that when you really approach it that way and say, I'm going to go straight through this. I'm not going to pretend it's not happening. I'm going to accept it and try to do something to try to contribute. And, you know, I think that people having real fulfilling experiences through that. I think that for me, the last kind of 2.5 years has been two and a half of the most fulfilling years of my life. You know, I really feel like I'm on the right path. You know, something kind of clicked for me, especially around the time when I started the podcast. And since then, I really think that this was the right decision for me. It felt right at the time when I was starting it. And since then, I've just had, you know, met so many interesting people, had great conversations. You mentioned Richard Nichols before. You know, I've met Richard since coming here. I had him on my podcast. I've been to his house. You know, we chat regularly. It's, we're creating something here. There's a really There's something amazing happening with this community, which I think that when you tap into it a little further, you realize the rabbit hole keeps expanding in front of you, and you realize that we are really building a complete alternative culture and community here, which I think ultimately on a long enough time frame will supersede all of these other kind of legacy kind of fake communities, fake cultures that's been kind of forced on people, you know, through the mainstream. What we're creating here really is something ground up, and I think that people are ready for it. The world is kind of ripe for it now.
Yeah, there's something you said earlier. Two things you said earlier on. As people talk, I pick up on little words or little expressions or phrases that they will come out with, whether they were really conscious of it or not. But you talked about this being potential. Well, I think it is. It's going to be the golden age of alternate media. This is when you're seeing the boom. It's like when mobile phones first started. You know, they were a new thing. They were interesting, and then there was a boom. If you were in the mobile phone industry, you know, operating a little independent shop back in 1997, 1998, you'd have done very well out of it, because it's something that just exploded and hasn't looked back since. I think with the advent of, you know, easy internet access, the fact that your phone can be your recording studio, it can be your editing suite, you don't have to invest massive amounts of money in technology to be able to have a voice and a presence on social media. Whether people like you or not, or whether people agree with you or not, is neither here nor there. The fact is you can be a presence there, and you also use the word documentation, which I think is amazing, because no matter what happens going forward, I think when things go out there in the internet, they're there for life. Somewhere, someone will be able to grab them and download them and see them, even if you're deleted off certain platforms. That trail will always be there. So in a cool way, you know, the podcast that you've done, every episode of TNT that's been broadcast by every presenter right the way back, we've got a massive back catalog of this, every video clip upload, everything that you've done to document this is out there and will remain out there. So in a way, the whole business of, you know, questioning history, which let's face it, is questionable at the best of times, at least we have our version of it that people can take or leave going down the line. And I think that's a cool thing, isn't it? We've got our own little stamp, our own little take on history that can't be taken away from us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that that's kind of what you have to do. You know, essentially what we are doing is engaging in some kind of warfare. It's just that it's not a physical war. You know, you're not going out there and physically engaging in war, but there is a kind of information war going on. I think it's been going on for quite a while, but it's just that a lot of people didn't necessarily feel that kind of burning need to step into the fray, because, you know, perhaps they just thought, well, you know, I'm too, you know, I don't have a big voice or something. Mm-hmm. But I feel like because the flames were really kind of at our feet with this whole thing, you know, with everything that happened with coronavirus, that was a huge escalation on the side of the tyrants. And I think mm-hmm. that a lot of people who maybe didn't think that they were a big voice, maybe didn't think they had anything to contribute, they've realized, well, you know, there's no point in me sitting around thinking, oh, little old me can't really do anything about it, because, you know, the alternative is that you just kind of roll over. And, you know, what's coming the other side of this, if we don't actually fight back, is so big that I think that you've got to set aside, you know, your ego. You've got to set aside, you know, okay, well, I don't want to seem like I'm being too big for my boots. You have to set that all aside and say, no, I'm just going to do my small part, whatever it is, because, you know, now is not the time for kind of cowering away in the face of what's coming, I think.
Yeah, and also an important point you raised there is you've got to do your bit. No one person will carry the team home. No one person will be responsible for overturning what's being done to us. It has to be a collective effort. And that's something, again, that people can get demoralized when they think, well, you know, I'm not a great speaker. I don't like talking to people that I don't know. I don't like, you don't have to do that. You've said it yourself. You can use artistry. You can use, you can communicate with people. If you're listening to this today, there are people that you will be able to reach that Johnny will never reach, and that I will never reach, that TNT Radio will never reach. There's people in my life that will never tune into a radio program or an alternate station that I can have one-to-one contact with. So also let's dispel the myth that you have to be on a platform to make a difference, or you have to have a large following or a big voice or be confident in front of talking to people. No, you can operate effectively in your own sphere. You have your own sphere of influence. You have your own people that are unique to you and your environment that only you can reach. And it doesn't take a lot. You just simply have to speak a little truth here and there, and maybe somebody will ask you a question. You can develop from that point, and maybe, who knows, you could save a life as a result of it. But I think the key is we'll have to be ready to testify to the truth to whoever comes across our path, show a little bit of love and compassion to other people. And that in and of itself, I think, is a revolutionary act these days, just simply showing an act of love to someone. Is that too hippie of me, or what do you think about that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And you know what I love about what's happened as well with this kind of, you know, this golden age of alternative media that we're going through now, is that it's truly become decentralized. I think that now there's so many people who are entering their voices into this conversation, and you know, it's not that you'd have to reach a huge audience. In fact, it might, in many cases, be better that doesn't happen. You know, I always thought when I was starting my podcast, well, you know, the kind of people that I wanted to have discussions with, because it's quite easy to have discussions with some other people in the alternative community. You know, you're on the same page all the time. But I thought, how do you reach those people who are your family? How do you reach those people who are your friends? If you start something up like in the alternative media space, you know, you're going to reach those people, and you're not going to be doing it in a direct way. You're not going to be having an argument with them. You're not going to be, you know, it doesn't have to get fierce. You can just say, hey, you know, I've created this podcast episode. I've created this piece of art. I've created this article. Will you go and read it? And that's a great way to reach people who are close to you as well.
Yeah, you got to start, everyone got to start small, and you know, you got to start, but starting is the key. When I think back, I went back through my history on Twitter just out of curiosity there the other day, and the first clip I put up, like, no one, 8 people watched it, nobody liked it, nobody retweeted it, but I didn't care. I was doing it, that was my start, and then you keep going and keep going through the muck at the wall, and sooner or later, some of it will certainly stick. Johnny, we're up to time. Unfortunately, I could talk to you all day, but I'm sure you have either a bed to go back to or things to do with your life. I've got to get off. Our time is our enemy. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Check out Johnny at Staying Free Pod on Twitter, at Johnny HODL on Twitter. You and I will stay in contact, and hopefully this won't be the last time you're here on TNT Radio. Thank you very much. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Luke.